All right, everyone, we are back for another episode of the Hound Sign Center's podcast series, Off the Stage, the last one for the fall 2023 semester. My name is Maddie Miller. I'm the media specialist for the Hound Sign Center and today's host. And today I am interviewing another one of Grand Valley's own, Dr. Tricia Thomas, Dean of Kirkhoff College of Nursing. Dr. Thomas, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you on our stage this coming Friday. So for those of you listening, if you are listening before Friday, December 1st, there is still time to register for our event, which will include just Dr. Thomas sharing her story and answering questions from the audience. But if it is after Friday, December 1st, we turn all of our events into podcast episodes. So be sure to check out this event on our podcast, the Hound Sign Center Collection. And I will have both of those linked below in the description so you can check those out. How we start every podcast is with our wonderful BOQ, which I just told you about. So feel free to pull a question out of our BOQ and read it and then answer it. They're stuck in there.
Do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
Ooh. This was a hot debate, actually, in our office and also in one of our self-reflections with our students. So this may be polarizing.
Actually, when I think about a sandwich, it's something between two slices of bread.
Okay.
So when I think about a hot dog in a bun, it's something between two pieces of bread. So yeah, I would call it a sandwich.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that decisiveness in there. And with that, we'll just roll right into the next question.
Fabulous.
Let's do one more.
Okay. This is fun.
Yeah. Okay, good. I love this.
Any movies, TV shows, or podcasts you want to recommend?
Ooh, this is a good one. Anything you've watched or read or listened to recently? Maybe?
I'm going to share that I watched a Disney show with my grandchildren over the weekend.
All right.
And I think returning to the soft but learning nature of Disney movies can be really powerful.
Yeah. So which movie did you watch?
Of course, they love Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And my granddaughters are 4 years old, so the idea of princesses in an adventure, using both their intellect but their adventuresome, creative spirit to find their way through was not only a lot of fun, but I think something to get you to see that even as young children, the challenge, the connection to people, the belief in others can take you the distance. So, yeah,
for sure.
Disney movies. I think.
Love that. I love the storytelling of a Disney movie. It's just unlike any other. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing. And now we'll move on to, you know, the questions that I came up with. And one of the cool things about Off the Stage is I always kind of start at the same spot, which is just tell us about the beginning of your life. Where did you grow up? What were you interested in school? What was your family like? All those kinds of things.
Sure. I was born in Flint, Michigan. Stayed there until I was seven and then moved. My dad got transferred and we moved to Farmington. So didn't realize at the time, but some important connections back to that later.
Okay.
Lived in Farmington, you know, through high school. Actually went and got my first nursing degree, an associate degree from Lake Superior State College in Sault Ste. Marie. To be that kid that was going to get as far away from home and became tremendously homesick, I would add. And I was in a 3-in-1 nursing program. So 3 years, a year of pre-nursing, 2 years of actual nursing, and you could step out with an associate degree. And if you stayed another year, you could earn your bachelor's degree. But I was putting myself through school and was very broke and decided to come back home. Returned to get my BSN at University of Michigan, and worked full-time. I was honestly very fortunate that I was able to work full time to work off student loans and to make some money while going back to school. But it was a few years ago. We didn't have online programs. So I lived in Farmington. I worked in Detroit and I went to school in Ann Arbor. So it really helped. But again, another really important part of sort of that growing up thing. I am one of three girls and a middle child, which I think too has its own influence. So when you think about that, my parents tell me that I've always been very driven, very focused. So I was a 2.5 month premature baby.
Okay.
And I'm a little bit older than you are, Maddie. So back then it was a very, you know, different experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And anyway, one of three girls, that meant my dad didn't have a son with the legacy and the drive and all those things. But I got to tell you, he became, honestly, our biggest champions and the person who set the dreams out in front of you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And probably... though very conservative and traditional in many ways, probably one of the first people that I now recognize as being sort of a feminist.
Okay.
Which was so not in his character, but his want and desire for his daughters to do well and recognition about their abilities became sort of infused in my go forward. So, as I say, was never the strongest student in the world. Actually, my sisters were much more academically adept than I. And I think that's an important thing to say out loud. It didn't come to me easily, but I did okay, right? BC student in high school, counselor that told me nursing was not for me, that I went back and talked to later, right? But I think important in that it shaped a lot of different decisions as I moved forward in my career and where I find myself now that were really central to how I lived into my own dreams and hopes and goals. So lived in Southeast Michigan then all of my adult life. Really have had the privilege of several amazing nursing roles that were both local but also national and international. So home was there, but the reach and the span became different.
For sure.
And so you know, I believe charity begins at home, but I have to say that my international work has really provided me the opportunity to offer to others what people had offered to me here at home. So nursing is, it transcends space and time and language and all those things. So I think I'm just honestly very fortunate in that way too. That the language, the work, the commitment that we have, is felt really around the globe and the connection that we have both to one another, but equally to our patients and their families and our communities is universal.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love everything you shared. I want to go back to one thing you said because I thought it was really interesting. You said you're a middle of three sisters. I'm also a middle of three sisters. Ironically, my older sister and younger sister are both nurses, and I am not a nurse, which is kind of funny.
Sure.
But what do you think, being like the middle of two sisters, like what do you think, what is it about being a middle child that makes you who you are?
I think that you learn to negotiate and compromise and navigate differently. And, you know, there are a lot of expectations that I think are put on all children, but certainly oldest and youngest, in a different way than the middle. And being in the middle, you have the choice about which direction or model you might follow. And then on the other hand, you can beat to your own drummer. Like I did, and just be really completely different. But I do think your ability to see more, see many sides to different situations, your ability to navigate and negotiate where you can recognize sort of in a conflict where the older or the younger certainly has a point of reference that you can appreciate and acknowledge, right? So there's just a different cadence in how
We see the world, kind of.
Right.
For sure. I couldn't agree more. My sister, I always think my two sisters are a little bit more similar than I am, but it makes it so special, all of our bonds.
Of course it does.
I love it. So you are very accomplished in your nursing career. I found that out from looking on your LinkedIn and just like looking at all of your stuff. How did you always know you wanted to be a nurse?
I always knew.
How did that come about, and why did you, I guess, decide to get that first nursing degree?
Yeah. I know I was a young child, and yes, I always knew that I wanted to be a nurse.
That's crazy.
And I think, you know, when I say young, honestly, it was, you know, 5, 6, 7 young. Yeah. We had family friends of my parents and grandparents who were nurses that talked about their experiences and what they had done, and so that, I think, had some influence. My dad was in the service and went into the Army so that he could get the GI Bill to come back and go to school.
Okay, yep.
He went to U of M, by the way.
Okay.
And my daughter is a devoted Spartan, so I need to say that, too.
Yeah.
and he talked about his experiences in the hospital when he was an orderly, when he was putting himself through school. So I think that had some influence. But no, I always knew that I was going to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. And it really was about my belief or perception at that time about the impact that you could have on people's lives.
Yeah.
Right. And so it certainly was about care and caregiving. And I always loved science. Which is, that's another kind of quirky
component.
Thing.
Yeah.
Even as a young kid, trying to discover how things worked and why do leaves have color and what's going on?
Uh-huh.
Why does the sun, right? So those were interests that I had anyway.
That's cool.
I honestly don't know where it came from other than I always knew I would be. And I think it's that little inside inner knowing that we all have, my belief, if we tap into it and we can be aware of it.
Yeah.
And I would offer that to anybody, right? Yeah. Listen to that inside inner knowing.
Yeah.
That we have. And sometimes people amplify it and sometimes people discourage it. Mm-hmm. My experiences as a person, as a mom, as an executive coach, as a nurse is that little voice is very important, and more times than not, it's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's learning to distinguish that and know that others may or may not have the same point of view that you do, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to help you also sort, but that little voice can be a powerful driver.
I feel like you're talking right to me. I'm like, okay, perfect. I need to listen to that. That's cool. One thing I wanted to ask, you touched on earlier, is talking about like your international piece of your career, which I think is really interesting. Is there anything specific that you learned during that like you were like, wow, I would have never known that had I not gone and experienced a different culture in the way they do nursing?
Well, let me start by saying that my daughter had a passport before I did.
Okay.
So traveling and venturing out, if someone had asked me, you know, when I was 20 or 25, I would have said, have a good trip, enjoy yourself, send me a postcard kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was not until my daughter was through college that I started traveling internationally, actually.
Okay.
And I say that with tongue in cheek, right? I grew up in Southeast Michigan, so I spent a lot of time in Canada.
Okay.
And so that, right, so I don't, I wasn't completely
but
sheltered.
Still,
but
different country.
The first international experience that I had was with Japan.
Okay.
And we were sponsored by the Japanese Red Cross. And the Japanese Red Cross actually obviously has hospitals, but also universities, nursing schools and universities. And so they asked me and asked several of us to come over and do an intensive with them for a week with their nursing executives, chief nurses, directors, so nursing leaders and faculty in their countrywide nursing programs.
Okay.
So I was with a team of people, and it was honestly an amazing experience. And we had done a lot of planning ahead of time. It was the first time that I had ever been translated.
Okay.
So several things. I usually have a lot to talk about, and I needed to learn how to, you know, cadence my speech to be precise.
I see, to like translate it on the spot.
Slow it down so that the translator could actually. And what really became apparent to me were a couple things. Definitions, concepts, terms in the English language don't always translate directly into other languages. Okay. And that was a good lesson for me. Yeah. Then I went to Croatia and Turkey, right? So other countries where, again, different languages. Mm-hmm. And we had an amazing interpreter, so
that makes it a little made nicer.
The students taught me how to use Google Translate.
Okay.
We sat in a room and honestly had an amazing conversation each evening over some food. Just it's those things that I learned, right? Not all that different than what we do here. Mm-hmm. The students were tremendously patient, many of whom spoke more than one language.
Wow.
And what I what was amazing to me was, even though we may not have had direct words that linked us together that we could translate, mm-hmm. The concepts and the constructs and the practice, professional practice of nursing, mm-hmm. and the values and the commitments that we hold are parallel.
Yeah.
And so that's awesome. Space, time, language mm-hmm. Really were transcended for that. And mm-hmm. We spent some time in the community with, in the hospitals with nurses and mm-hmm. nursing students and people that were doing work, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And, there's great ceremony in Japan in gift giving and,
mm-hmm.
providing support and appreciation. So that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're watching my eyes tear up, so I'm just trying to gather myself. So at the end of that week, we had a ceremony to present to the nursing faculty and leaders from across Japan who had been invested with us. Mm-hmm. And their chief nurse said to me at the end that what she realized was that while there may be many things that are different in our countries, in time and language and education and commitment and how we deliver care, it was our ability to extend beyond those things to make a contribution. And it was like an experience I'd never had. But it was just, obviously, whatever, 10 years later, it still moves me. And it really helps me to appreciate that when you think about where we are here at Grand Valley and we talk about thinking and acting locally, right, for global impact, it really brought that into full focus for me.
Yeah.
And their chief nurse, somebody who obviously has tremendous responsibility in their country, for her to be that moved by the bit of time we spent and the amazing experiences that we had with them was profound.
Wow, that is such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks.
Just like hearing your emotion come out in that story just makes it all the more special. So thank you so much. Just the way you talk, I can tell that you have so many cool experiences that probably make you great in your role. So this year at the Howe & Sign Center, we have like a theme for our programming, and it's empowered citizenship. So how to empower people to be citizens of our country, citizens of our world. I was just kind of wondering if you wanted to talk about how you empower our students or empower our community to be better nurses or to be better citizens for the world. What kinds of things do you focus on?
I love the word empowerment, right? Because it's both a noun and a verb.
Yes.
It's how we describe something, but it's also how we act.
Yeah.
And so I spent a bit of time with it. And empowerment in nursing is really an important concept because part of what nurses do is to empower patients.
Exactly.
And their teams and their community, but through their words and actions. So I think for me, knowledge is power, right? Mm-hmm. And so empowerment in part is to help people find their confidence in their own learning and knowing, right? I think there also is a part of empowerment where our ability to recognize talent and experience and insight and ability, even when the other may not see it, is an important part of empowerment, right? We can sometimes see strengths and abilities in people, and they're very humble, or everybody around them, they think, has those attributes, and that there's nothing special or unique about them.
Yeah.
And yet, right, our own experiences tell us differently.
Yeah.
I think one of the ways that I was empowered, that I've continued now for many years, is people identified things or saw things in me that I didn't know or see about myself. And they tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, I watched how you did that, or I saw how you experienced this, or, you know, I've got this opportunity and I think you have the right knowledge, skills, ability, aptitude, whatever it is. And I think that's an important part of this, right? With our patients and families, it's offering hope.
Mm-hmm.
And painting a picture that may be different than the one that they have in their mind's eye, but something they can see for themselves that they want to move toward. And that's very empowering, right? If you're fearful or overwhelmed or faced with something that you didn't anticipate, someone being able to put in front of you the possibility, the opportunity, the way forward can be an amazing way to help others take action, right?
Yeah.
I think sometimes there's a fear, right, that, you know, I don't have it, I'm not good enough, somebody else could do it better, I don't have the knowledge, all things I've said myself, we can talk about some of those funny stories.
Yeah.
And so honestly offering to others that, no, actually, here are the things that I'm seeing, and these are the people that could be around you that we can reach out to, the tools, the resources, the books, the podcast, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
The development activities. So I honestly do believe that our ability to act in our own community, in our own social circle, and we talk about the 20 feet in front of us that we can influence and the 20 feet behind us, that has been a very helpful mental image for me when I'm either totally overwhelmed with I don't have any idea where to go, or I know this huge global thing needs to happen and I need to figure out what my next step is. So I do think that when you are able to build community, people, resources around you, and we do it in all different ways, right?
Yeah.
We do it at church and school and social groups and clubs, and right? We do it in a lot of different ways that when you've done that locally, at home, you've then built some muscle memory and some skills and some confidence that the next time you're in a situation that's similar or at a different place, you can draw from that.
Yeah.
And so to me, that really is how you help to empower, and you go from very, very local to impacts on really global, the global stage, right? So let me just, and I'll offer you, right, the in my wildest imagination, I never thought that I would write a book.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, you know, we all had spelling words, and every week you had a set, right? And I think it was about 20, and you had to spell them, and then you had to write them out. And then my parents, my mom would put it up in the refrigerator, and you always hoped you had, you know, more correct marks and not the cross through. So the idea of a red pen. So I was never a poor speller, but I was never a great speller.
Okay.
And loved to read, loved to watch movies, and right? Writing was just not my thing.
Yeah.
But learned as I went through school, right, that I was not a tremendously effective writer. And it's that little voice in the back of your head.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty passionate about my work. And mm-hmm. one of my colleagues said, you know, you can talk about this all you want, but until you put it to paper and share it with other people, the impact isn't as great. Mm-hmm. So it was another person saying to me, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Let's do this, and you need to move beyond that.
Yeah.
And it's important mm-hmm. for this to be shared, right?
For sure.
So that's kind of how I got started. And then colleagues were writing a book, and they said, you've got this perspective, we've got that perspective, we need you to help us. Mm-hmm. And it opened a door.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, from there, it was continuing to write with them, writing other textbooks that I had great interest in because Amazing. Of interprofessional teams, mm-hmm. nursing, mm-hmm. students, and what it means in practice. Mm-hmm. And then what I would say is from there, it was translated into another language
wow.
that I never anticipated.
That is incredible.
So it was more about reach and spread. But the empowerment piece in that is mm-hmm. I had this little voice in my head about writing and my gifts.
Yeah.
And others saw something in me that I mm-hmm. didn't see in myself.
Yeah.
And in fact, I had a very different point of view about it.
For sure.
And they tapped me on the shoulder mm-hmm. and they said, come on, this is important and, you know, we're going to do this. But it really is the example of part of it is the stories we tell ourselves. So I hope you hear that.
Yeah.
And how others can walk alongside of us mm-hmm. To help us either reframe it. To dismiss it, to reshape it, right? Or to step out of it. Mm-hmm. And that's something,
that's
you know, that I'll honestly be indebted to them for.
But
it opened a door and then recognition of mm-hmm. our books mm-hmm. and what we were writing about first locally, then nationally, and then onto the stage.
On the globe,
And it's... it's a transferable event, right? It's first time I went to a nursing leadership meeting. It was somebody I worked with tapping me on the shoulder and saying, hey, come along with me. And I'm like, I don't think that's me. And they're like, no, actually, I do think let's go together. It'll be fun. We can go out and, you know, we can go to the meeting and then go out and eat, right? It was, but let's go do something fun after.
Yeah.
And so we all have that ability.
For sure.
To also empower another.
Yeah.
No matter where we are in our career.
For sure.
When you help somebody new at a job.
Yeah.
When you take on a new topic of learning, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And somebody's coming along, those are all ways that we do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's such a good reminder to just always be on the, like, look out for ways to encourage our friends, to empower our colleagues or whoever, because as you were talking, I'm thinking about all the people who have empowered me in, like, this job is my first big girl job. So I just, like, think about all those people who have, like, inspired me to, like, either just be more confident in something or, like, hey, you should really take this opportunity or whatever. So it's a good reminder.
The other thing I would say that I think can be really powerful in this is know what your values are.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the principles that guide your living?
Yeah.
And the other is, it's okay to have a high standard that you're reaching for.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is people will get there. Mm-hmm. If the bar is high, people will get there. Mm-hmm. When you lower your bar, that is what is more difficult for people.
Mm-hmm.
When you have high hopes and high standards and an expectation for yourself and others around excellence, and you hold it out there for people, but you come around them, they will get there.
Yeah.
And that's, you asked, you know, how do you do this for students? And I, you know, I think how I do it for students really comes from promises that I made to myself
mm-hmm.
as a student, right?
Yeah, right.
So I did the 3-in-1 program, but my 3-in-1 turned into a 3 and 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked every weekend and every Friday and Monday, so I had benefits.
Yeah.
Right?
And, that's crazy.
And, stayed out of school for several years, but always had sort of that curious itch.
Yeah.
And became a single parent and realized that I needed to go back to school.
Yeah.
And worked 3 jobs to be able to go back and have time with my daughter, but to pay bills and insurance and whatnot.
Sure.
So there was a part of that in learning. And then, you know, did had amazing jobs and work and colleagues, and decided to go back again.
Yeah, which is
because
crazy.
It is crazy because I realized that there was still I still had more questions that I needed somebody right. And what I would say is, when I finished my BSN, I was never going back to school. I had worked weekends. I was over it, right? Yeah. I had worked every weekend and holidays, and I was just never going back to school.
Yep.
And then had some really great job experiences. But when I went back for my master's, what I realized was, again, amazing mentors that exposed me to things that I never would have experienced.
Yeah.
But I had an opportunity with a master's degree to teach. And the promise I made myself was, if I ever have the opportunity to make going back to school easier for someone else, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about others at that point. It was the promise I made to myself about how I could contribute to a positive outcome
for sure.
that I wasn't experiencing, right? And that... when I finished my master's, up until the year of the pandemic, there had never been a point in my career that I wasn't both teaching and in a practice role. So if my full-time job was practice, I was teaching and doing adjunct. If my full-time job was teaching, I was doing practice.
Oh my goodness.
And that was part of it. And then when the pandemic hit, my daughter and son-in-law, that year before had had my granddaughters, and they were a bit premature, and I left Grand Valley to go back to the east side of the state to be an available mother and grandmother. And it was the first time in my career that I didn't have both roles. And I honestly was a bit uneasy about it. And then the pandemic hit, and I was able to go back. I had all those practice experiences and coordination in the city of Detroit with the university and the health systems and the state and the city. So I didn't have to fret about that for very long.
Yeah, that's awesome. You quickly, you said that you, one of your goals is to make it easier for people to go back to school. What, like, practically does that look like? Like policies or load in a class or what?
It's kind of an all of the above thing, right? And it's a great question. Nursing is a pretty complicated education model. And I think I have important ways that I can contribute both to ideas and innovation, but also the development of policy around nursing education. And I've been really very honored to work in policy at both the state and national level related to nursing practice, but also to education. I think that we are beginning to make some of the movement toward modifying curriculum. And our professional organization just made changes and approved changes for a competence-based education rather than courses that you take all along the way. So huge curricular changes on our horizon, but very exciting.
That is exciting.
And very aligned with other health disciplines. So the gift in that is that, as an example, if a student needed 8 weeks to finish all of the requirements in a course that would normally be 15 weeks long, but they could demonstrate all the required elements of competence, they could move through in 8 weeks. However, if a student would need 18 weeks to finish work that might be offered in a 15-week semester, because semesters are what we put around people, right? Then they could be afforded that additional time. I think that's going to do a whole bunch of things. I think it's going to bring in a more diverse and representative student body.
That's awesome.
And when you think about that, people that are working full-time, people who have families, students whose family haven't had the opportunity to go to college. There's so many different ways, right, that that would open doors to different people, and we're not excluding them for these artificial, they didn't finish in 15 weeks. They failed, they failed these tests, right? And those are things that we have put around people. And the other part is, you know, to recognize that practice readiness is about being practice ready. How do you think? Mm-hmm. How do you observe? How do you gather information?
Yeah.
What's relevant? What's not relevant? Mm-hmm. And I think that there are ways that we've gotten very accustomed to doing that work. That probably served us well 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
That are not going to be the go forward. So you think about technology and wearables, mm-hmm. and AI and chat, right?
Yeah.
ChatGPT, mm-hmm. all of those things are now a part of our lives. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do to learn and understand, right, all of those things and to incorporate it into education? And that's where I think the innovation comes in.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm honestly just excited about that opportunity.
Yeah.
Along the way, I was one of the first that developed and implemented the first new nursing role in the last 40 years.
Okay.
So the clinical nurse leader role. So
a
little bit edgy. Not everybody was loving it.
Okay.
Seemed like absolutely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That it was going to meet needs of patients and families and communities.
Yeah.
It was going to help within organizations. So it's sort of built into my DNA.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say is I've had some very traditional leadership roles, but I've also had a number that were unique and kind of edgy.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, transformative,
yeah.
Both in care and my own experiences.
Yeah.
But I think those are the muscles that I draw from when I think about how could it be different and what might it look like and why do we need to do that. Policy is going to be an important part of it, right?
For sure.
And it's both health policy,
mm-hmm.
it's social policy, but it's also the policy that drives regulations in our discipline. So lots of good work and work to be done.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear. I have my little sister just graduated from nursing school in April. So I, you know, just came off of 4 years of hearing about nursing school. So that's kind of cool to hear just the different things that are happening.
And congratulations to
her. Yes. Yes. Chloe, little sister, she's great. My two favorite nurses in the world, my sisters, Emily and Chloe. So, and how I end every podcast is just asking the guest, what advice would you give for somebody wanting to go into your field? So the field of nursing, somebody's thinking about going to nursing school, thinking about going back for a different degree or something like that. What advice would you give them?
I'm going to go back to follow your dreams.
Yeah.
Know that inside little inner voice that's telling you it's time and it's time to do it. I would say that there are so many amazing experiences that you'll have as a nurse that I don't think you'd ever be sorry. And that the gift of nursing is you don't have to leave your discipline or your education to change roles and jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
I think that the versatility in a nursing degree, while most of us have spent time primarily in acute care, the opportunities for nurses today, not only in community-based care, pharmaceuticals, simulation, innovation, technology, the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, school systems. So the sectors of the economy that we don't always attribute to nursing and nursing practice are growing. And the sky's really the limit there.
Yeah.
And the possibilities are what you can dream and live into.
Yeah.
So go for it. It's not our education. Will pay off in ways that are almost unimaginable.
That's awesome to hear. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. This has been so fun. I'm like just sitting here like forgetting that I'm hosting. I just feel like I'm like just listening. For those of you who are listening to this podcast, remember, if it's before Friday, December 1st, you should come to our event on Friday and hear more great advice and cool stories like Dr. Thomas shared today. But if it's after Friday, December 1st, or you can't make it, we have a virtual option, but also we always record all of our podcasts all of our events into a podcast. So make sure you check that out. But Dr. Thomas, thanks again for being on.
Always my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's Maddie, and this was the last episode of this semester's Off the Stage. I just want to say, for you who are listening, thank you so much for supporting this podcast. This semester's guests have been so incredible, and I truly feel so honored to get to host this podcast. If you liked this episode, you should definitely check out other Off the Stage podcast episodes, because our event speakers have the coolest stories that they share on the podcast episodes that don't necessarily always get shared at our events. So you should definitely check those out. There's just so many different people, amazing stories, people across different disciplines and areas of expertise, and it's just awesome. I also wanted to let you know that registration for all of our winter 2024 Howe & Stein Center events are now open. You should go check those out on our website. They'll be linked below so we can continue to learn how to be empowered citizens, which is our theme for this year. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to Off the Stage Podcast, a series produced by the Howe & Stein Center for Presidential Studies at Grand Valley State University. The Howe & Stein Center, inspired by Ralph Howe & Stein's life of leadership and service, is dedicated to raising a community of ethical, effective leaders for the 21st century. For more information on our center, our Cook Leadership Academy, or our Common Ground Initiative, visit our website at www.gvsu.edu/hc. To keep up with our current events and reoccurring initiatives, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, all of which can be found linked below. If you liked this episode, consider giving us a review or rating so we can be found by other podcast listeners. Again, thanks for listening to Off the Stage Podcast.